Woo! Kingdom of God is at hand, amen? It's right here, you know. It's, and you go out the doors, you can still say it's right here, wherever you're at, right? We need to contend sometimes. We're not contending with God. We're contending in our faith. We've got to quit, you know. Jesus didn't start a religion, did he? He brought the kingdom of God to us, right? He brought the kingdom of God to us. He made the way. And if we want to tap in by faith, we can, you know. We can be passive and miss what God has, or we can be fighters. We're not fighting with God. We're fighting in faith. We're fighting for a right mindset. We're fighting to break through old ways of thinking and old ways of approaching things and looking at things, right? We learn to settle with things too often. How many of you believe that God has more for you in your life to walk in, to receive, to be a steward of, that you don't have right now? And not just things in the future, but things you're supposed to have right now. But because of laziness or passivity, you and I don't have it. Right? I know it's so common, but you know, it's something we need to think about. When Jesus went into the boat with his disciples and the storm came up, they reacted, right? With fear, right? They reacted to the circumstances. Now, they went and got Jesus and they said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" In other words, what are you doing sleeping? So they, let me say it this way. They made the prayer of fear. They made the prayer of fear. They did not pray. They just made the prayer of fear and left it there. And Jesus said, "Where's your faith?" Okay, you're asking for something, but where's your faith? Where's your confidence that something's going to change? How come there isn't something in you that says, "I'm going to rise up, and this what's good, this circumstance isn't supposed to be, and this circumstance, just because it looks bad, isn't my lot in life, and I'm not going to let circumstances change how my confidence, my peace." Some of you are looking at things in your life, or maybe some of you are ignoring things in your life, possibly, but you're not looking at them with the eyes of faith. I'm speaking to somebody. I don't know what, you know, I'm just speaking as the Lord puts it in my mouth tonight. We need to confront some things. We need to look at some things where the enemy has run havoc, where whatever, and start speaking the truth into those things. Start rising up in faith and start making the prayer of faith instead of the prayer of fear. Amen? God help me. And we're all afraid and stressed, and no, rise up. There's more. Amen? God help me can be a good prayer, but what I'm talking about is not the words. I'm talking about what's in here. Fear, faith, dread, anxiety, or confidence. God's brought me here to bring change. I'm a conduit of change. I'm an extension cord of heaven. Big gauge, too. I don't lose power, right? Some people are like, what? Never mind. If you don't have a high enough gauge, it loses power. Amen? Who are you going to call? Just say, hey, just call me. I mean, you just got to say, hey, just call me. I'm a conduit of heaven. Right? Or you can stay wimpy if you are. Stay passive. Stay fearful if you are. Or we can get out of bed and say, this battle was made for me to win. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not saying this in a critical way, but there are plenty of Christians in the world. You need some with some chutzpah. Amen? There's plenty of people, and I'm not talking about, yes, we want everyone to get saved, but there are plenty of people that out there that name the name of Jesus. We need some people that bring change. But so few that name the name of Jesus do much. And I'm not just talking about doing something to do. I'm talking about people with faith, people that rise up, people that don't think like the rest, not like the rest of the world, but like just the church. Amen? And this isn't to have some elite mentality like I'm somebody special. No, it's just that we're in Christ and we are able to see the kingdom of God come. And if our faith is shaken by the little things that happen around us, we need to say, hey, self, man up. Right? We're talking about kingdom economy here. Can you hit the light maybe? I don't know. Can you all see? You like the light on? Or do you want? That's good. Okay. Smile. You're all like, what did I do? What did I do? Am I in trouble? Not if you don't want to be. A, B, and C there are reviews, so I'm only going to spend a second on them here. We talked about them quite a bit last week. But we gotta, this is Christianity 101, right? Getting these issues right concerning, because where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Amen? So, we must learn to trust God alone and not the wealth of this world. And that's somewhat easier to, said than done sometimes. Jesus called it the deceitfulness of riches or the deception of riches. And what is the deception of riches? The deception of riches is, I'll take care of you and I'll even make you happy. And we say, oh, I don't want any of that. Well, true. But how many, and we've asked this question before, how many have felt more at ease when the money was there? That's a deception. That's a deception. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So he says, just because someone has money, they better be trusting in God and not in their riches. Amen? Psalm 62:10, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. You know, it's easier to reach out to a poor man or woman because they don't have money to look to. Right? But when the riches increase, we got to be proactive about keeping our eyes on God. Amen? Mark 10:24, Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6:32-33, for all these things, the necessities of life, the Gentiles seek and pursue. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek, pursue first the kingdom of God and in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We've talked about that. That is a supernatural thing. God will make sure that you have what you need. You do what he asks. You focus on him, right? And he, no matter what happens around us, he will take care of you. Is he faithful? Is he faithful? Yes. Amen? So we're not going to get concerned. We're not going to get worried, right? If the bottom drops out of the economy, right? If there's hyperinflation. Oh, that's a real thing, hyperinflation. Yeah. That's why you go to some countries and you go to buy a candy bar and it's like 4,000 of that. Oh, 4,000? When did they, you know? It's because they've experienced hyperinflation. Well, there's more to it than that. But that's a whole other thing. Letter B. Jesus taught his disciples to trust that all their needs would be met by the kingdom of God. So when he sent them out, he told them, you're not taking any money, you're not taking any extra things, you're going to go, and wherever you stay, he goes, don't you feel bashful, you just stay there, and stay there the whole time you're in that town or city. And then in Luke 22:35, he said to them, when I sent you without money, bag, knapsack, sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. We all need this type of training. You need this type of training. You need to obey God when you don't have the money. When it doesn't look like, okay, he's calling me to do this, but I don't have it yet. Well, can you take one step without what you, yeah, I can take one step. Well, take that step. But what if, all right, you're not ready. In Luke 12:32, do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Letter C, when we honor the King, we tap into kingdom provision. When we honor the King, we tap into kingdom provision. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. As we learn to honor the King, that's when we learn to tap into the kingdom. Amen? It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom, right? Meaning, from the kingdom, I will make sure you have whatever you need. So honor the King, right? It's not till we learn to honor something that we can receive from something, right? Going back to electricity, if I don't honor the power that an electrical socket has, and I want to stick a knife in there, that's not honoring the power that it has, and it will hurt me. Right? Right? We need to learn to honor. Or, really, I'll never even attempt to do anything with it, probably. And therefore, in that same way, it's, well, let's go to D here. The blessing of the Lord brings financial increase. The blessing of the Lord brings financial increase. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Some translations say at the end there, none of your toiling can add to it. And that probably is maybe a better translation. But the first part of it is the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. By God's blessing on your life, you will increase. That word rich there, the first time that's used in the Bible is with concerning Abraham. Abraham uses the word when Abraham sent his servants to defeat the armies that had defeated, that came against Sodom and had captured Lot and some others. And Abraham sent his servants, and it's in Genesis 14, sent his servants. They defeated these armies. And the king of Sodom came to Abraham and said, here, I want to give you, you know, everything you recaptured, I want to give it to you. And he says, no. You take your things back. He says, I don't want down the road for you to say, you made me rich. In other words, God's been faithful to me. They're your things. You take them. God has blessed me. I don't need your charity. Feeling pretty aggressive today here. We need to get aggressive. Not with one another, but we need to get aggressive. The enemy's stealing from some of you people. I'm telling you, I'm just not talking about money here, just because we're talking about. He's stealing from some of you. He's doing things in your life that you're allowing him to do. And let me just say it again: you need to man up a little bit, or a lot of bit. Amen. Lord, I just pray you'd reveal wherever we've been wimpy. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Who's the one who supplies bread to us? Who's the one who supplies seed for us? He, the Lord. He'll do it. In Deuteronomy 28, I'm not going to go read. You can read it later. I encourage you to do so. But I just put a little synopsis here of the blessings of the Lord, the blessings listed that are available to us as we follow the Lord's ways. Number one, blessed regardless of your location. So you will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. So you can be blessed in the sticks of some foreign country. You can be blessed no matter where you're at. If God sends you there, you're not subject to what's going on there. Number two, the offspring of your body will be blessed. Amen. So go have like 50 children. Be fruitful and multiply. We could double our church real quick. I'm not going to go there, but that's how the Muslims are doing it. What did I hear? There is a billion Muslims under the age of, what was it? What was the age? It was like under 20 or something. It's like 20% of the world is a Muslim under 28, I think it was. That's huge. It was under the age of 28. So, well, hopefully not Christians, we don't. But okay, so number three, the produce of your ground will be blessed. And number four, the increase of your animals will be blessed. So if you're a cattle raiser or a farmer, you'll be blessed. But of course, the principle is that the work that you do is going to be blessed by God. You do the work, God will cause it to be blessed. Amen? Number five, all food containers and storehouses will be blessed. Amen? Number six, blessed in war. Boy, we could use this one. Number seven, blessed weather patterns. Could use that one too. I'm not going there. Number eight, he will bless the work of your hands. He will bless the work of your hands. You know, you work, he blesses it. You do what you're called to do, you know, and he blesses it. If you're a housewife, you work, he blesses it. If you don't have a job, that's why I said, you know, go pick up some garbage in your neighborhood and God will bless it. Someone will drive by and say, hey, what you doing? Oh, just picking up garbage because I don't got a job yet. Oh, I got a job for you. Number nine. You will give and lend, but you will not borrow. That is part of the blessing. That will let you know that almost all Christians are not walking in the blessing of the Lord. I mean, the full blessing. Amen. We're still in the system. We'll be blessed to be leaders in society and not followers. Amen. Genesis 31, 6 and 9. I love this here. Jacob says to Rachel and Leah, and you know that with all might I have served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Isn't that awesome? That Laban was a deceiver, trying to take advantage of Jacob. But could he do it? No. So it doesn't matter if you got a government that wants to take all your money. Doesn't matter if you got a boss who's filling the adjective. It doesn't matter what. God is faithful. Amen? Right? I mean, is God's blessing not big enough to overcome a deceitful boss? Here we go. Amen. Side two. We're talking about the blessing of the Lord brings increase. Now we don't trust. We've been building a foundation talking about this. We don't trust in riches, or we're not to. We don't have a desire to be rich, but we want to be a steward of everything that God has for us to be a steward of. Amen? Amen. Paul said, with clothes and food, with these, let us be content. I got food to eat, clothes on my back, be happy. Personally, he's saying you personally be happy with food to eat and clothes on your back. But he wants to bring increase for a purpose. You have to be trusted. Amen. Now you say, okay, let's say you go, let's just go here. Leviticus 25, 3 through 4, and verses 20 through 21. He says here, 6 years you shall sow your field. In 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Verse 20, and if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, since we shall not sow nor gather in our produce? then I will command my blessing on you. Say that after me. Command my blessing.
Command my blessing.
Then I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year. And it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. There was a Sabbath in the week. There was a Sabbath of years. And then there was a Sabbath of Sabbath after 49 years, the 50th year they took off. That another whole year. So on the seventh year, he said, don't plant your fields. Just rest. No sowing, no reaping. And then the obvious response is, what am I going to eat then? And he says, oh, I got that figured out. In the sixth year, I'm going to command my blessing on you, and the land is going to produce enough for 3 years. That year, the next, and then as you're getting started the next year. So the problem isn't, you know, can there be enough? It's not the problem. He's just saying, just trust me in this. Will you do it? I mean, when that seventh year rolled around, do you think there were some people going, so we're really not going to plant anything this year? What are you going to do? Are you not going to do it? What do you think? You know? Well, I was planning, but I don't know. What do you think? So we're just going to not plant this year? Well, wow. Look at this in 2 Chronicles 25, 6 through 9. This is King Amaziah. He was a king of Judah. Not the king of all of Israel, but the king of Judah. After they split, he, the king of Judah, Amaziah, also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. Not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy. For God has power to help and to overthrow. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. And I'm not going to read it, but the note there, it says something to the fact that we need to live within our means. We shouldn't be spending money that we don't have. But we also can't be making decisions based on how much is this and how much is that. What if you bought a vacation, paid for the vacation, and then God says, don't go on the vacation? Oh, I paid for it. Would you feel like I'm out that money? Well, obviously, we should probably take a step back and say, was it because I wasn't listening? But we have to be able to go into that position. Listen, we have to be able to be in that position where we've paid for it. God says, don't do it. Well, we can, and if we got something to learn, fine, but not feel like I'm out that money. Because is it all in his hands? Can he bring that much back to you again? Can he bring what you need? If we feel like, we still got that deception in us, that riches, I need riches. No, you're not. Don't you have God? But what about the 100,000 talents of silver I already paid? God's like, the man of God says, well, if you want to go ahead. Let Israel go with you. Speaking, go with Judah. Go ahead, let him go with you. You'll fall. But if you'll just go with Judah, God will give you much more. I remember when I went on, I was in Georgia, and was that one lady, the one I mentioned her before, her husband made a lot of money and she gave it all away. Not like at once, she just went out and gave it away. Any reason I say it, she thought different. And she was the one who said, I got to keep the river flowing. Speaking of receive, giving and receiving. And I'd already paid for the ticket to go home. And then I had to go home early because of one of my grandparents dying. And one of the persons there said, oh, that's too bad that you already, you know, paid for the ticket. And this was right after 9/11. And she goes, well, maybe it was God's plan because the airlines need help right now. And I had the same reaction, like, huh? We're out this extra money because I got to change my ticket. And she's like, well, maybe this was God's plan. The airlines need help right now. She didn't feel like I'm out this money. She thought maybe we're just part of the conduit to get some extra money to the airlines right now so they don't go down. Say, I don't think that way. Well, I'm not telling you that was right or wrong, but I, you know what, that to be able to think like that is right. To be able to think like that is right. I remember we used to go to Tanzania and visit Joe Davey. And, you know, when he got his, I mean, for him to, for where he was at, to have a car, now he's got 9, but for him to have had a car before was an amazing feat where he was at. I mean, Tanzania is not just an African country, it's one of the poorer African countries. And so when he had to get it fixed, he would go to one of the guys who would under a tree somewhere or something, you know, who would fix cars. And when we were there, he said that God had spoken to him, and he went to the car shop to get it fixed. He said, God spoke to him. He said, I can't have this mentality anymore that I can only go to one of these guys under the tree or whatever to get my car fixed. He was saying, God put it in his heart, I can't live with this mentality. It wasn't because he had a lot of money stored up. He's just like, I can't live with this mentality. I think it worked pretty well for him. Like I said, he's got 9 cars now. And he's not just hoarding them up. He's got a lot of people that use them for the ministry and stuff. Never mind. Are you getting anything out of this? Yes, sirree. Hallelujah. Letter E, don't kill your blessing. Oh, did I miss anything? No, I didn't. Don't kill your blessing with words of doubt. Tell your neighbor, don't kill your blessing. Don't kill your blessing. The words of doubt. Matthew 6:31, therefore do not worry, saying. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Do not worry saying, I don't know what we're going to do. Don't worry saying the words of worry. Amen? Don't kill what God's trying to do. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Right? And you can say, I believe the Bible. And you can say, I believe God will take care of me. And you can give in the offering and give to God as God has you, but then say words that line up with normality instead of the Bible and kill what God wants to do. Amen? Skip the first part. I want to go down to all the way to where it's indented there. Proverbs 18:20 and 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it. In context, there, love means to esteem. Who will eat the fruit of their mouth is those who esteem it. They recognize that there's power in their mouth, that their words have power. Amen? Jesus didn't speak to the storm because Jesus wasn't able to speak to the storm and quiet it because he was God, because he came as a man. He was God. He was fully God, but he was fully man. Amen. And so when he said to them, "Where's your faith?" he was saying to them, "Why didn't you just do what I did?" Because if you speak to this tree to be uprooted and to be cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart the things that you say, you will have whatever you say. Yeah? But what can't you doubt? What you say. That's the person who loves the power of the tongue. They don't doubt that what they say is going to take place. Do you believe that God could put something in your heart and you could just say it's going to happen and then it will happen? It's like a gun. Having the faith and the confidence in your heart is having the ammunition. Speaking it is pulling the trigger. Some people pull the trigger and got no ammunition. But if you got ammunition, pull the trigger. Speak. Oh. Speak. I'll go back here. I need a shield. Woo. Speak. I heard one pastor say he got up to preach and they had they were playing a little joke on him. The three people in the front row pull out these umbrellas, went, "I'm not the only one." Hallelujah. Now let's go back up to Numbers 6, 22 through 27 here. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel." Notice those words. This is the way. This is the way. God says, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Say to Aaron and his sons, this is the way. So God says, this is to Aaron and his sons, the high priest, the priest. This is the way you're going to take the blessing that I have, that God has, the blessing that I have, and put it on the children of Israel. Put it on them. Put my name on Israel. You've got to say to them, the Lord bless you. Well, if the Lord wants to bless me, he can just bless me. No, he says, you got to speak it upon them. Or it's going to be here, but if you don't speak it, it's going to stay up there. You know, even natural Israel, who many of whom are not saved, still walk in maybe not the full blessing, but a blessing, because they understand some of these things that sadly even many Christians do not. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. So the high priest would say over the people, the Lord bless you. Think of that. As a high priest, he's saying, the Lord is blessing you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will cause his face to shine upon you. He'll give you his shalom. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Melchizedek blessed Abraham by speaking that over him. Amen? What are you speaking over your finances? What are you speaking over your family? What are you speaking over your future? And it's good not to say words of doubt, but don't just leave a vacuum there either. Speak God's word into it. I am blessed. God meets all my needs. He puts something in your heart that is for the future, whether it be later that day or 10 years from now. Speak it forth. Be proactive. Amen? That's why I'm not just letting you know. I'm prophesying. We are building an orphanage. We are going to, that's why I'm saying these things. Amen? Genesis 24:60. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Amen. There's a lot of more examples, but I can put these examples because the blessing was transferred through speaking. Jesus said, do not worry saying. That's the worst thing you can do. But don't stop there. Speak the truth of God's word concerning your finances. Amen. It'll work. This is where people miss it a lot of times. Right? You plant a seed and don't water it, it's going to die. You plant the seed of, you give, water it by speaking the truth over your life. Okay? Now, we already looked at Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. Proverbs 10, 11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. What is a well? Something you draw from, right? The mouth of the righteous is a well. I need to draw what God has. Well, your mouth is that well. Isn't it kind of cool that your mouth is here and your spirit is here? How do I draw from the faith that I now have here? With my mouth. Go to Deuteronomy 26. We're just going to look at a couple little things here. Deuteronomy. You there? Verse 1, and it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from the land that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is the priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of the hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and he shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish. This is speaking of Israel, Jacob, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation great and mighty and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us into this place and has given us the land, this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you in your house and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. Verse 12, when you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, doesn't mean they tithe just every 3 years. It was a special tithe. I don't want to talk about that now. And have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat it within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for the unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel in the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. All right, let's stop there. I just read the whole thing because it's hard just to pick out a couple verses out of that. But the point, what happened there was, he says, when they brought their tithe, they would say, God, you've brought us into the land that you've called us to. You've freed us. And then the priest would answer and say, my father was a Syrian. We were about to die. The Egyptians treated us hard, but you brought us out. You brought us this land. You've blessed us. And the priest would say, now bless your people. Or, excuse me, that was them. The person would say, in verse 15, look down from your holy habitation, from heaven, and bless your people Israel, in the land which you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So when they gave, they didn't just drop something in a bucket, but they said all these things. We were slaves. My father was about to die. Speaking of Israel, many generations back. But you set us free. You brought us this land. You blessed us. Now continue to bless us. They understood the power of the spoken word. Or are you just poor? Or... watch what you say. Speak the word. And I wrote in the notes there something to this fact. Sometimes we talk about seeds and we talk about offerings and stuff being a seed, and there is a truth to that. But the foundational seed of the kingdom is the word of God. So you can drop as much money into a bucket but have nothing change when you're not activating the word. How do we activate the word? We get the word in our heart, right? It creates faith. Giving is part of the corresponding actions. We hear the word about giving. We say, God's got, he's called me to be a steward. He's going to bless me. And so I want to give. Amen. That's part of the corresponding action. But the other part is speaking, right? Just like David, when he was called to, when he saw Goliath, he had faith in his heart, right? He had corresponding actions. He went to the king, said, let me do it. Let me take him out. He went and got five stones and he ran at Goliath. But he also spoke to Goliath. He said, this day, Israel shall know that there is a God. This day, I'm going to feed you to the birds. That's where David, that's where the victory was won. Because David wasn't counting on luck. Maybe I'll get lucky. No. He was saying, God's going to give me the victory. If I got a sword, if I got a rock, just give me something, because whatever I got, I'm going to do it and God's going to bless it. But David knew he had to put action to his faith, and he spoke. Same thing concerning our finances. You put action and you got to speak. You got to speak words of life. God's going to bless me. God meets my needs. Are you in debt? God's going to give me wisdom. God's giving me wisdom to get out of debt. And wisdom not to get back in it. Amen. God's called you to lend to many nations, not just alone, but to give to many nations. Amen? He's called us to be givers. Yeah, this ought to excite you. Amen. Let me encourage you to say at least one thing every day concerning the blessing that God has for you. Amen? Speak the truth over your, you know, you can speak Philippians 4, what is it? You know, God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But also confess something like 2 Corinthians. You might need to confess something like 2 Corinthians 8, verses like 1 and 2 here, where the Macedonians, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of liberality. Say, I'm a liberal giver. I'm not just saying, I don't mean you don't have to say it now. I mean, well, you can. I mean, just, I'm a liberal giver. And it says they freely and willingly gave. And it says, and then he said, I sent Titus to complete this grace in you. You can say the grace of giving is in me. God's given me grace to receive from His hand and be a steward of these things. God, thank you for an extra $100 to give this week. Thank you, God, for $1,000 to give and defeat people next month. Oh, I don't know about that. Well, fine. Or you can think like God. Grace of giving is on me. Amen? I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. That's what we got to be saying. Amen. Amen. Let's get ready to give tonight. You need an envelope? Anybody? Your debt's shrinking and your giving's growing. Your debt's shrinking.
Yes.
Woo. And your giving's growing.
Yes.
You can say that over your life.
That's right.
Amen. Are you ready? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we come before you tonight to give to you, to honor you, to love you. Lord, we thank you. God, we've been speaking about these things of kingdom economy and giving and finances. Father, thank you for your revelation, God, in our hearts. Because you, this isn't something that can just be, isn't just a couple of rules that we just start to walk out, but it's revelation that we receive in our hearts and live by. It's grace. It gets poured upon us and we live in it. So, Father, I thank you for the grace to be cheerful givers, the revelation to know that the kingdom is ours, that it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom, that we are channels of heaven. So we give to you tonight, God, in faith. And Father, we thank you that you do meet all of our needs according to your riches in the glory, in the glory. And it's by Christ Jesus. So we give to you tonight in faith, Father, to bless you. Let these seeds be multiplied. God, do something good in the lives of your people. Do great things in the lives of your people. Thank you for expanding them, expanding their stewardship. In Jesus' name, amen.